Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, we will hear from Pastor Ray in the teaching series, Refocus, on having spiritual conversations. Now here is Pastor Ray.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning to you who are here in person and those of you who are online. It is going to be a great day. It already is one, and it will just continue to be so. And today is what? It's Super Bowl Sunday, but who cares? We're in church and we're looking at the Word of the Lord. And that's the one thing that wins all the time, right? Your favorite team may not, but the word of the Lord always prevails. So nice to see all of you. And let me also put a plug in for GrowTrack if you've not been through that yet or you need a refresher. It is a great way to learn the basics of discipleship. We're talking about that in our Sunday morning services, but in particular, how God has created you with a unique style to be his disciple and how that fits into the unity of the body of Christ. So we encourage you to join us at 11 o'clock each Sunday. It's a four-week class, and you can jump in at any time, and we would love to have you to be a part of that. And then I noticed on the film, it showed a brief shot of our food distribution ministry through our Urban Mission Initiative. And I just got an email this week from the guy that leads that, Mark Seeger, Pastor Mark Seeger. And we have now passed over 150,000 meals that have been given out to those that are in need here in the Portland community. And this has taken place in the last, not even a year yet, as we launched into this COVID season, we began to look for ways to bless those that are in need. And so we've been doing that now, and the Lord has provided, and you've helped to be a part of that. So continue to keep that as a matter of your prayer. And if God calls you to give toward that or to be a part of delivering the food, we would love to have your help. What a great thing that the Lord is able us to do, to be his love extended to our community in very practical ways. Well, this morning, I'm going to invite you to find John chapter 1 in your Bible, the Gospel of John chapter 1. And we're going to look at yet another practice that is just a discipleship basic, and that is having spiritual conversations, having spiritual conversations. And Andrew, a disciple from this text that we're about to read, will be our tour guide. He will be our example. Now, other than knowing Andrew as one of the 12 disciples, I'm guessing that you probably haven't heard a whole lot about him. There's probably not a profile that you have built for this particular disciple. But as we look closer in his world, we will find, it will reveal to us a simple and inviting yet powerful tool of evangelism. Very simple, very inviting, but very powerful. Andrew's style of sharing his faith is one that even the most reserved of us can employ, we can use to engage the spiritually curious in conversations. You don't have to be a super evangelist to be able to do this. It's a very natural, very effective way. I call it the Andrew factor. I've talked about this before, but the Andrew factor, and we're gonna look at it this morning. So if you would, if you haven't found it yet, the Gospel of John chapter 1, and let me read verses 36 through 42. This will be our base camp today, verses 36 through 42. And this is what it says. When John, that is John the Baptist, when John saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When two of his disciples heard him say this, they left John and followed Jesus. Now, John was pretty secure in himself. He knew what his mission was. He wasn't threatened by that. He said, I need to decrease so that Jesus can increase. So a couple of his disciples actually left him to follow Jesus. And turning around, Jesus asked them, "What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi," that means teacher, "where are you staying?" He replied, "Come and you will see." And so they went and they saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John said and had followed Jesus. Now, the first thing that Andrew did was find his brother and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and he said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," that is, Peter. Now, a watershed moment in your spiritual experience occurs when you come to the realization that the Christian life is not really about you. Hate to break the news to you if you haven't realized that already, but it is not about you, not really. It's all about God, and it's about fulfilling God's mission through you. That is a defining moment. That is a watershed experience when you realize this isn't about me, it's about God and fulfilling his mission in the world. And what is that mission? Well, it's reaching the world with the good news. It's reaching the world with the good news that God provides salvation and eternal life by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That is the mission of God, what we would call the Missio Dei, that God will receive the glory. And the greatest glory that God receives is when his highest creation, you and me, when we come to realize that he is worthy of following, that Jesus, his son, has paved the way for us to be made right with God. That is the mission of God. And listen, you were made for that mission. You wonder why you were here? Do you wonder why God created you? He made you for that mission. And he recreated you. When you came to know Jesus, you were recreated for that mission to do good works, which he prepared in advance for you to do, Ephesians 3:10 says, or Ephesians 2:10. Anyway, it's in Ephesians. Look it up and you can fact check me on that. You were made for that mission. And by far, that is the best use of your one and only life to fulfill God's mission. I want you to listen to this verse in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. The Apostle Paul says this. He said, the most important thing is that I complete my mission. What is that? To tell people the good news about God's grace. Paul understood the most important use of my life is to tell people the good news that God saves through his son, Jesus. Now, if you go to the Old Testament book of Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, this is what it says. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and those who win souls are wise. Those who win souls are wise. So what that verse from the New Testament and the Old Testament tell us is that the most important and the wisest use of our lives, our time, our talent, our treasure, our goals, in our dreams, is to engage others in spiritual conversations and to influence them toward Christ, to influence them toward Jesus. Now, admittedly, when you hear a sermon on evangelism, when you hear me speak about reaching the lost, there is a high intimidation factor. Most Christians, unless you are a bold evangelist, most Christians, especially in the Western world, when we've been taught not to force our beliefs on anyone else, this becomes a little bit intimidating. But if you will embrace the Andrew factor, if you embrace the Andrew factor, you will find a simple, enjoyable, and non-threatening way of engaging the spiritually curious. Now, some people aren't spiritually curious, and you're not called to engage them. We're called to proclaim the good news through the ministry of the church wherever we can, But if people aren't curious, you're probably not going to have much success. So this is a way for us to engage the spiritually curious. And they become spiritually curious when the Holy Spirit begins to work on their hearts and begins to prepare them to hear the message and hopefully to receive it. Now, in the very few passages on Andrew that I studied this week, like the one we just read, I came away with two factors that I believe will encourage you in your mission to be an ambassador of the good news, to share the good news. So let me give you just two of them this morning, very simply. First of all, Andrew shows us that we don't have to have any special skills to introduce people to Jesus. Andrew shows us that you don't have to have an education, a degree in evangelism. You don't have to have any special skills or a particular kind of personality to introduce people to Christ. Andrew just literally brought people that came along his way to meet Jesus. He said, go with me and let's meet Jesus. I want to introduce you to this guy. Even though Andrew was Jesus' first recruit, and he was the very first to accept Jesus as the Messiah, he never achieved fame like his brother Peter. He wasn't included in Jesus' inner circle like his brother Peter. He wasn't at the Mount of Transfiguration like his brother Peter. He wasn't there in the inner circle at the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus as he was praying before his death like his brother Peter. He never wrote an epistle. There's not a letter of Andrew. He never gained recognition as a leader of the early church like his brother Peter. Do you know that Peter's name appears 200 times in the New Testament, 96 times in the Gospels? Only Jesus is mentioned more than Peter. By contrast, we find Andrew in only 13 places, depending on the version that you're using, in only 13 places. And many of those are buried in the list of disciples. He's named with the other 11 disciples. In 6 of those mentions, he's just an afterthought. He's just Peter's brother. Andrew, Peter's brother. And only three times, only three of those passages. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Hope you didn't spike that with anything. If you want this to be a short sermon, that would be a good idea. In only three of those New Testament mentions do we learn anything about Andrew. And even then, it's minimal. You know, a conductor was once asked, what is the most difficult instrument in the orchestra to play? And he said, well, that's easy. Second fiddle. Well, that's Andrew. He is second fiddle to Peter, to James, and to John. And yet, underneath everybody's radar, Andrew was being used in the most powerful way of all to introduce people to Christ. He not only brought Peter, but John 6:8 says that Andrew brought a little boy with a sack lunch to meet Jesus. And from that encounter, we have one of the greatest miracles in the Bible, where Jesus feeds the multitude of 5,000 people with just five loaves and two fish. Wouldn't you love to have been there to see that one? 5,000 people are fed to their fill, and there's leftovers. 5,000 people with just five loaves and two fish. And because of Andrew, we have a story preserved for us for all time that has helped millions upon millions of people understand that only Jesus, the bread of life, the bread of heaven, can truly satisfy our inner hunger for God. That was Andrew that introduced that boy to Jesus. And then we find in John chapter 12, verse 20, that there were some Greek Gentiles that came, and they came to Philip, and they said, we want to see Jesus. So Philip took him to Andrew, and Andrew did what Andrew does. He hooked them up with Jesus. He said, hey, there's this guy that I want you to meet. And so as we read these stories about Andrew, we realize that he became the first home missionary in the Bible when he introduced his brother Peter to Jesus. And he became the first foreign missionary in the Bible when he introduced these Greek-speaking Gentiles to the Lord as well. Now, the point that I'm making here is simply this, that you don't have to have any special skills. You don't have to have a charismatic personality. You don't have to be an articulate speaker. You don't have to be an anointed preacher. We find in Andrew that he is just a guy. He's just a guy who is available and useful. Just a guy. Ordinary guy, but he is available and he makes himself useful to Jesus. He just kept bringing people who got near to him to meet Jesus. You know, the tradition of the early church says that Andrew just kept on introducing people to the Lord for the rest of his life until he was put to death at a ripe old age in Greece. His death came after he led the wife of a Roman governor to the Lord. She was converted under Andrew's ministry, and this so enraged this Roman governor that he ordered Andrew to sacrifice to his heathen god. But Andrew refused, and so he was crucified on an X-shaped cross. Now we've beautified that cross, and now it's known in some traditions, and it's used in worship. It's called a St. Andrew's cross. He was crucified. He was crucified on an implement of torture. It wasn't glorious. It wasn't pretty. But he was crucified like Jesus on a cross, an X-shaped cross. And he lingered on this cross for two whole days. Imagine the agony, the pain, and the humiliation of that for two whole days. But it said that the whole time he hung on that cross, he spoke of Jesus to anyone who walked by. Anyone who got near, he was still introducing people to Christ up until he took his final breath. He remained faithful and useful. Anybody who will remain faithful and make themselves useful can be used in the most significant way, and that is to say, hey, I have someone that I want you to meet. Right. Secondly, Andrew shows us the unlimited influence of one available and useful disciple. The unlimited influence of a disciple who says, here I am. Lord, use me. He brought Simon to Jesus, and Jesus transformed Peter into a rock. And you know the rest of the story. You know how great and influential Peter became. That's the power of one life, simply being available to God and making themselves useful to God and letting God do the rest. and letting God do the rest. Each time he's mentioned, he's bringing someone to Jesus and letting Jesus do the rest. His one talent was leveraging his relationships, to invite people, to introduce people to Jesus. He doesn't lay the four spiritual laws on them, or the Roman road, he doesn't ask them the two evangelism explosion questions. He just says, hey, I have this guy that I want you to meet. And he takes them to Jesus, and Jesus does the rest. And that's the Andrew factor. If you haven't figured it out yet, it's simply this. It's inviting your friends to church and letting God do the rest. It's as simple as that. We call it invitational evangelism. It's saying, hey, I would like for you to go with me, and then letting God do the rest. Now, there are other ways, of course, to evangelize. Nothing wrong with that. I think we need to understand some of the tools and the techniques. I think the four spiritual laws that hopefully you got a copy of this week. I sent out you an evangelism toolkit, if you will. It should have arrived in the mail. If you don't have this, we have extras out there. There's some different pieces, some tools that are available to you. This one is called the four spiritual laws. And it's in a very simple way, written by Dr. Bill Bright, whom I mentioned last Sunday. We'll help you to understand the plan of salvation. And so should the Lord open up a deeper spiritual conversation with a seeker, you will know how to lead them to Jesus. So I think these other ways, these other means of evangelism are very, very important. But Andrew's way is still the most effective means of reaching people, the most effective means of introducing people to Jesus. Do you know that 80% of people who find Christ do so because of a personal relationship, a friendship? 80% of people who get saved do so because someone invited them. Did you know that the 10% of the people that you invite for the first time to church, 10% of the people that you invite to go with you to church to meet Jesus will respond? One out of every 10 people. And if you can get them to come twice, come a second time, 25% of them will become regular attenders in that church. And if you get them back a third time, 45% of them will join the church. It's amazing, the power, the powerful influence of just one person. Listen, most people are not gonna join Portland Christian Center because of the fabulous preaching. I know that sounds like, what are you talking about? They're not gonna join because of my preaching. They're not gonna come here and join this church because of the outstanding programs. Now that might help to keep them in the long run, but they will come and they will get transformed because of you. That's the powerful influence of one person. You know, one of America's great current theologians is a man by the name of D.A. Carson. And he wrote a commentary on the Gospel of John. I was reading it this week. And commenting on Andrew, this is what he points out. He says, the most common and effective Christian testimony is the private invitation of friend to friend. It's the most powerful. It's the most effective. A private invitation of friend to a friend. And yet, only 2% of us ever invite a non-believer to join us in church. Did you hear that? Only 2% of Christians ever invite a non-believer to join them in church. The Apostle Paul said in Philemon chapter 1, the only one chapter, in verse 6, he said, I pray that you would be active in sharing your faith. I pray that you would be active sharing your faith. And I pray that too. I pray that for you and I pray that for me, because that's how people come to Christ. And that's how the church grows. And as Andrew shows, it's as simple as saying to a friend, hey, I would like for you to come to church with me. And then letting God do the rest. So I have a challenge for you. These tools that I sent to you or that I'm making available to you, I want to challenge you to use them this week and for the next several weeks, culminating in Easter. So again, we have provided for you the four spiritual laws. Just read this through, familiarize yourself with it, should the Lord open up a deeper spiritual conversation with a speaker. And then the second piece that I want to call to your attention is what I call a bring card. A bring card, that very creative name, isn't it? And this is just a card for you to to pray about and then to begin to list out your unsaved friends or your unsaved loved ones. And there's a slot, there's slots for seven of them. You can put one or two down. You could put seven. You could get two of these cards and put four. Doesn't matter. But you begin to pray, God, who would you like for me to put down on this list? And then begin to pray for them. Just begin to pray. And there's a simple prayer that I've included as a bookmark as well that I wrote. I call it the prayer of Ezekiel. It's based on Ezekiel 11, 19 through 20. And we're going to pray this at the end of the service. And you just begin to pray every day for the names that you've written on this card. And the goal would be, you know, and maybe the Lord would open up a conversation sooner rather than later. You never know what God is up to. But at the very least, that you would make an invitation for them to come with you, whether it's online or in person, to Easter service in a couple of months. So you have a couple of months to begin to pray about this. Because Easter, and along with Christmas Eve, are the two events in our calendar where people are most likely to respond to an invitation to come to church with you. So begin to pray about it. And then when the opportunity comes, when the time is right and you'll know, then try out the Andrew factor. Just say, I want to invite you to come to church with me. You know, I was thinking about this, and the reason I was thinking about it is because years and years ago, probably 7 or 8 years ago, I gave out a bring card. It was a little different back then, and I wrote down a list of five people that were not saved that I wanted to see come to know Jesus. And so I wrote them down and I began to pray for them every single day. And then there was a Sunday that we had a special invitation Sunday that I was to invite these people, or we were to invite people to come to know Christ. And so I wrote these names down and then I put this right above my computer in my office and I grabbed it this morning and said, I'm gonna bring this in. So I was looking at these names. Three out of the five have come to know Jesus Christ. Three out of the five have come to know Jesus. Would they have come to know Christ without me praying and inviting them? I don't know. God has a lot of ways, but I know he put them on my heart and prompted me to pray and then invite them to church. Now, one of those came on that Sunday and received Jesus Christ. It's a very cool experience for me. Others of them, it took a little bit longer, but they have found their way back to the Lord. There are two that are still on here that I'm still praying for, and you never know. You never know what God is up to and when he will break through to their heart. And so I'm going to encourage you to do this because this is the powerful potential influence, impact that one life can make, the powerful influence of one. 100 years ago, there was a very famous Scottish preacher by the name of Alexander White. And he was a powerful preacher, and he was holding meetings in Edinburgh, Scotland. And there was a salesman who would often go to hear White when he preached, and he would always invite someone to come with him. Well, on one particular Sunday, he invited a friend to join him, and the friend was kind of reluctant, but because, and this man's name was Rigby, because Rigby persisted, the man came to the service to hear White preach. And he was so touched, God so touched him by the sermon, that he committed his life to Christ at the end of the message. Well, the next morning, as this guy Rigby, the man who invited him, as he was walking to work, he passed by Pastor White's home, of the evangelist's home. And he felt compelled, he felt prompted to knock on the door and to tell him about his friend's experience. And so Alexander White opened the door and the man introduced himself and he said, I just wanted to tell you what happened to my friend. And when White heard that the man's name, who he was talking to, heard that his name was Rigby, he said, I've been waiting to meet you for a long time. He said, come with me. And he invited him into his study. And there he retrieved a bundle of letters. And he began to read excerpts from these letters. And they all mentioned of coming to know Jesus Christ through White's ministry. And they all said that they had been invited to the service by Rigby. All Rigby did, all he did was invite people to church. He brought his friends to church. All Andrew did was bring people to Jesus. And you can do that as well. You can do that as well. And if you will, God will do the rest. If you will, if you will be available to God and make yourself useful to him and just simply invite people to come with you, God will do the rest. That's the power of one. That is the influence of you. I want to pray with us. Would you bow your heads? And the way I want to pray today is I want to pray for those friends and unsaved loved ones that are in your life and mine. And so I'm going to ask you just to bring into a mental picture someone that you're praying for or someone that you should be praying for. Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a child, maybe someone in your neighborhood, a next door neighbor, or maybe it's someone at school or someone at work or someone you've met, someone you haven't been with around for a long time, but you know they need to find Jesus. It would just be absolutely devastating to think of them entering into a Christless eternity, and you're going to begin to lift them. Over these next several weeks, you're going to begin to, you'll put them on this list, and you will begin to pray for them. And this morning, just as an act of faith, as the Holy Spirit has brought a picture or the photos of several people to your mind, I want you just, if you would, just to raise your hand, just lift it to the Lord right now. Do you have unsaved friends and loved ones that you want to pray for? Just take your hand and lift that hand to the Lord. And symbolically, as you do that, you're lifting these people before His throne. And the Bible tells us that we can be confident that He hears us when we pray. And so I'm going to lead us in this prayer of Ezekiel this morning. I'm going to pray over you on your behalf and over the people that I'm putting on my list as well. And let me just say this, if you yourself have never received Jesus as your Savior, if you don't understand what it means to follow Christ and be made right with God and have eternal life as God's gift to you, I want you to just make this your prayer. As I pray it, make this your prayer and receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. So lift your hands and let's pray. Let's pray this prayer. Oh God, we lift up our unsaved loved ones and our friends to you. And we would pray that you would replace their heart of flesh with an undivided heart for you. Lord, fill them with a new spirit, a spirit that longs to know you and to fully trust you with their entire life. God, would you show them the unequal joy that comes from following your ways out of love for you? God, please save them. Please save them so that they can become one of your dearly loved children, just as I am. Or transform them into a trophy of your grace. God, hear our prayer. Answer our prayer. God, we pray this in the name of the one and only Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we say thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. My friends, I pray that this week you will be active in sharing your faith. Just invite people to meet Jesus. The simplest way to do that is to invite them to church, because at the end of every service, we give an invitation like this. Just bring them and let God do the rest. And they will be eternally grateful for the influence and the impact that you had on their lives. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me, please? For those of you that are at home, you're invited to stand as well as we pronounce the final benediction. And if you would like prayer this morning, if you're here in the auditorium, our pastors are over here. If you want to come and pray, especially for an unsaved loved one that just seems to be a real tough case for you, go over here and these guys will pray for you as well. And then if you're online and you have a prayer request, make sure you log that in and our prayer teams will be praying with you. Now, as you go this week, may the Lord bless you and may He keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His eyes upon you and give you peace and give you impact. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to hear more or learn more about us, visit our website at pcctoday.com. Or join us for our live streams at the 9 or 11 a.m. at live.pcctoday.com.